The word today is sour. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. When someone has a bitter disposition, they may be called a sour person. It's easy to turn bitter when we see what others do to us or haven't done for us. We may blame previous generations for current problems. The ancient Israelites even had a saying about sour grapes. God wants us to mature in faith and take responsibility for our actions, not excuse them because of others. Here to explore this further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Sour.
Have you ever bitten into a piece of fruit that you thought was going to be wonderfully sweet, and once the flavor hit your taste buds, you may have even spit the piece of fruit out of your mouth, or maybe you had to choke it down and your face shriveled up because it was sour. So sour. I remember as a child, we used to have certain candies, and they seemed to try to outdo one another in providing a sweet but also an extremely sour taste. And we would lick the candy or suck on it, and our eyes would squint because it was such a strong reaction to the taste buds. Well, in the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, who was sent to Babylon along with the other captives from Jerusalem back when in the Old Testament Jerusalem was overrun by the Babylonians, and the priests and the ruling class, the people who were educated, were all carted off and made to go to Babylon as being subservient to the Babylonians. And Ezekiel was one of these men who had to leave Jerusalem and go to Babylon. And Ezekiel, in chapter 18, says this, "The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel, for every living soul belongs to me, the father as well as the son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die." Now, at first, this sounds like it's a really terrifically negative passage, as though it's all about God's wrath and condemnation of sin, and the one who sins is going to die. But actually, there's some beautiful hope and help in this passage, and it comes in the form of forcing us as sinners to accept personal responsibility. There is always a tendency to blame our problems on someone else's behavior. Someone else did something that didn't sit well with us, caused a negative fallout or an effect. And this is often called sour grapes. It comes from this passage. The saying that was used, "The fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge." Remember, that's where I was describing that kind of bitter, sour taste, and it causes your mouth to shrivel up and your teeth to be set on edge. It's just can be an awful taste. Well, the Israelites were quoting this proverb because they were blaming previous generations for their current predicament. They ended up going into exile, and they were blaming their parents and grandparents for it. The sins of their parents, the sins of their grandparents were the cause for them to be overrun and under the punishment, the discipline of the Lord. There is a big temptation for us to try to shuck off our personal sinful responsibility onto someone else. The reason I am the way I am is because my mother or father was a drug addict or they were abusive toward me. And we can come up with any number of excuses. What's amazing is that we can be so deluded in sin that we could have grown up in a loving family. We could have actually been a part of a caring community, and yet we can be so egotistical or so warped that we think we were hard done by or that everyone had it in for us. There is no limit to the amount of lying to the self that can happen when we want to justify sin and unrighteousness. We just simply have to repent of it. There is no escaping all of this bitterness, this self-pity, this idea that the world owes us something. You really don't get away from that stuff until you start to face your own sin and stop blaming everyone else. You know, there's an interesting incident that took place in John chapter 9, and this was occurring as individuals were interacting with Jesus. And there was a man who was blind, who was brought to Jesus. And he was asked a question, who sinned, this man or his parents? Now that just strikes us as really strange today, because we know that with genetics, with DNA, and with disease, there's so many different ways that persons can be affected physically, and blindness, deafness, problems with the stomach or the blood or the brain, these are all outgrowths of sin generally and imperfection in our world. And we certainly don't want to be pointing a finger at someone and saying, you're the cause of this. You remember what they say, that when you point one finger at someone else, you have four others pointing back at you. Anybody could pick us and blame us for issues as well. So we don't want to play that game. We don't want to be like the Israelites, where they blame their forefathers for their current problems. Every generation has enough issues, has enough struggles, and its own set of particular sins. So these people asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? In other words, they thought that all of these physical conditions were outgrowths of sin. And Jesus responded by saying that neither, but this was done so that the glory of God could be revealed. And you're thinking, how can someone be born blind and yet this display the glory of God? What kind of God is this that would let someone be born blind as though that shows how magnificent he is? Well, that doesn't fully understand the purpose. The man was standing before his Lord. He was standing before Jesus, whom you might recall in John chapter 1 is described as everything came through him. Nothing that has been made was made apart from him. So here, this blind man is before the Son of God, the creator of this universe. Jesus having a hand in shaping this very man's existence. So blindness is not a big problem to Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus has pity and compassion on those who suffer blindness as well as other disease. But it's not an issue to fix. And so he simply heals the blind man. He simply reverses the condition of blindness. That's what Jesus meant when he said that no one sinned in particular. It's not like God looked into a book of consequences of sins and said, oh yes, for this particular thing, I'm going to strike their child blind. Well, that's nonsense. The point of all this exercise with Jesus was that he has the capacity. He is the source of renewal. He is the source of enlightenment. He is the source of restoration. not only physically, but spiritually. And so this man ends up not only healed of his blindness, but healed of his ignorance. He was blind to who Jesus was. He had no clue who this man was and what he stands for. But when this was all over, this demonstrated fantastically the glory of God. Jesus received the honor that was due him, not just for healing this guy's blindness and making him see again, but for demonstrating his glory as the Son of God. And so then the man would have his eyes opened, so to speak, to see Jesus, his Savior. Isn't that fantastic? And so there are so many circumstances in our lives where we're tempted to blame someone else. And the answer is just don't do it. You're responsible. You know, as Ezekiel 18, as the Lord says, every living soul belongs to me, the Father as well as the Son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. What that means is you have personal responsibility for your behavior. And maybe your culture and maybe your family don't take responsibility, but the Lord of this universe says you have responsibility. You also, because of his mercy, have a Savior. You also have a God who can forgive your sins. Don't try to shuck off the problems and the issues of your life as though they were caused by someone else. That will not fly, and it will not fly before the judge of this universe. The only thing that will get you in good standing, good stead, is to acknowledge your sin, to repent of your sin. Know that you will either live or die based on how you accept or reject Jesus Christ. And I certainly hope that you will receive him and that your eyes will be open to your own personal responsibility, but also to your Savior Jesus, because he loves you and wants you to be redeemed from sin and death and the grave. And I hope you will receive him and the salvation that he wants to give to you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.